Are you good? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Daring Greatly podcast. I am your host, Tepo Manche. And in this episode, I'm joined by a special guest, radio content producer, and the host of her own podcast, The NDL Show. It's Nondu Lihutso. Hey, Nondu.
Hey.
Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Tepo. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, really.
I'm so excited. How are you feeling right now?
I'm actually feeling quite overwhelmed. School's a lot, hey? School is a lot. How are you?
Girl, relatable content. Like, distance learning has also just added another layer to academics that has just been crazy.
Tell me about it.
Listen, I am so excited to have you on this show. I listen to your show.
Yeah. And
apart from your great content, I'm always so inspired by your confidence, your courage to take up space, and just how you're so able to be unapologetically yourself. So I wanted you to come and join me on this episode so that we can have a conversation about what it takes, or rather what it took for you to find your voice and to stand by it in a world that can often silence us, you know? So I just think that the Daring community would benefit from hearing from someone like you who has just taken up space so courageously and so beautifully.
Wow, thank you so much. I have to thank you for your constant support. Finding my voice was quite a difficult journey. You know, I grew up in a family where we are outspoken, but, you know, both my parents are pastors. So, you know, it was a constant thing of me having questions about many things, you know, but obviously because I had to constantly read the room, I couldn't just, you know, ask certain questions, especially to my parents, you understand?
Yeah.
Because they're pastors, you know? So, yeah, it's been a difficult journey, you know? And, you know, for high school, I went to a girls' school. You be ladylike, you have to act a certain way. So obviously you can't, you know, speak out on things that bother you the way you want to. But I had a blog, and, you know, if I'd meet a boy, because I can't speak to, you know, everyone around, I would like just journal and, you know, put it out there, post this blog, let people know that, hey man, I'm in love, you know, which is crazy.
Take me back to when you were younger. What were the things that you did that you felt that most expressed who you are?
Well, so yeah, I was very cultural. I was, yeah, you know, I mean, choir for me was like the most instrumental thing that made me feel one with myself. I again in high school and then went national. So yeah, I guess, you know, that played a very instrumental role in me coming towards me speaking out about things.
I was also a choir boy, and I loved the choir as well. It was such a beautiful moment of expression for me. Yeah, it was a very nice community to be a part of because, like, as a young kid myself, I found it quite difficult to express myself. Feeling like, you know, just like society around me was not as welcoming to someone who was a bit weird or random or didn't quite, like, conform to what the other kids were doing. But finding expression in a community like a choir did so much to form me that I also only realized much later on the confidence that instilled in me. What would you say confidence means to you? How would you define confidence for yourself today?
Right. So, you know, I've always had like a very complicated relationship with this term confidence, because for too long, I have been told that, you know what, you're too confident. You know, I've been in spaces where people literally called me out for being too confident. You know, I mean, I have always been confident, but I think it's been a matter of how do I express myself correctly. But being confident to me is not caring what people say. You know, not caring how people perceive you or think about you. For me, that's like the most important thing, because then you're able to live, you know, you're able to live freely, live how you want, you know. I don't know if you experience this, please tell me if you do. You know, before I post an episode, right, because it's for the people, like I constantly like think, okay, what are the people going to feel when they listen to the show, you know?
I can totally relate to that. I have struggled with that for a very long time. And from the beginning, from the get-go, it has been for me a journey of embracing vulnerability and embracing uncertainty. Because in creation, it's kind of like a crazy thing, because we always want to create from an authentic place at all times. We want to express this that is within us that we want to share. But then we often limit that by putting our attention to what other people are going to say. And in the creative process, that's a big part of it. And that's kind of something that I have to engage with all the time. And I remember the beginning of the podcast, I just kind of created and I had all this confidence because no one had listened to me before. So I was like, I can just create, let's go. And then I made my episodes and I think 4 episodes in, people started listening. And then I remember like having to take a break because I couldn't bring myself to creating more content because now people were listening. And my consciousness was where I was like, what do they want from me? What do they want to hear? And I found that to really limit my expression so much.
Yeah, you know, I really do hear what you're saying, because that's exactly how I feel constantly, specifically about podcasting and creating content. You know, you always want to think about, oh, okay, now people are actually listening. So, you know, it's like, it's different, you know, you have to constantly consider how they're going to receive it. But at some point, you know, I get to a point where it's like, stop editing 100 times. You know, you've done what you can. So edit and let it go. Post it, put it out there in the world. So that's my relationship with confidence. How about you?
Oof, for me, I think that it has been a learning experience. Even contacting you to make this episode was another situation where I had to gather the confidence and the courage to do it. But I'm in constant conversation with myself about my worth and my value. And I'm this kind of person who really believes in affirmation, because I spent such a long time of my life speaking so negatively about myself, and I've noticed what that negative talk has done for myself and my confidence. So I've then now decided to shift that and have the conversations that I'm having with myself be more positive. So how I deal with confidence is that I have to constantly affirm myself of my worth and my space or my position in any space that I want to be in. So even in contacting you, I was so nervous because I'm a fan of your work and I've been listening to your podcast. And, you know, not knowing someone, you're like, oh, what are they going to think of me? What do they even want to like have this conversation with me? But I have to be like, okay, no, Tsepo, you are worthy of your own space. You're worthy of the platform that you are on. And just shoot your shot, try your luck. And really, that's what I do. All I do is just shoot my shot and see what happens. It's very difficult when I give answers for other people. I'm just like, I can do what I need to do. And then whatever happens, happens from there.
Wow, man, thank you so much for reaching out, you know, because I'm a fan of your work. It's not even like a one-sided thing. And that's why I responded so like promptly. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm definitely like opening this right now. I'm gonna respond right now. I don't want you to even think twice about sending this email. So like, I'm really just grateful, you know, and humbled that you did reach out, because I love your work just as much, you know. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the conversations so much, because you know, we need it. We do need it.
And with that said, I also want to know from you, how do you deal with negative feedback, or feedback that you feel like doesn't really, you know, sit well with you? Because we gather the courage to put our work out there, but then there'll always be something that comes back. How do you engage with that space?
You know, you just brought something up that has recently happened actually to me. And it was tough, you know, because when you create something and you put your thought into it, you put your back into it even, and you think about this thing, you know, you conceive it literally. And, you know, I'm a person who does things with detail. So certain things that I do, well, everything that I do, I make sure that I'm doing this for a specific purpose. Like, I'm not just doing it for clout or hype, you know. I do it because it's like, okay, no, there's a specific motive behind this thing. So getting critique on my work, you know, that I didn't did on my back as a whole, it's very difficult. I won't lie to you. I won't sit here and be like, you know what, it's fairly easy. it's quite hard, you know, because that's time, that's effort, you know. So you know, at some point you get to a point where you realize that actually this person has their own perspective, and perhaps it will help, you know, it will help you also just rethink about certain things. So that's what I do. I take in what this person is saying, and you know, I'll go back and refer back to the thing that they're constantly pointing out, you know, and try to actually sit down and think about it from their perspective. You know, is this person's point valid? That's the thing for me. Is it really valid, you know? And after like meditating and really thinking on this thing and pondering on it, that's when I then decide that, okay, maybe perhaps I should rethink doing this thing. But sometimes, you know, when people just speak nonsense, you know, there are people who will literally critique your work, like they're waiting for you to fall. And people will do this thing where they try to, you know, diminish you or even minimize you to this little thing. You know, so in those instances, it's like, no, man, I know that this thing that I created is amazing, you know, and I've listened to it, I've deciphered it, I've tried to understand, but it's still not making sense. And in those cases, that's when it's like, okay, I select not to take that advice, not to take that criticism, because it doesn't help me, you know. Can I just vent for a second?
Go for it.
Because you didn't open the platform. So I recently had a conversation with someone, right, about the NDL show. And this person was saying to me, no, actually, you're very biased. You know, you're very biased. Why is your show about Black people? And this person is a Black person, right? Young Black person, right? And, you know, I was like, you know what? There's a problem in the world, right? We are experiencing a constant fight as Black young people. We don't know, we have a lot of uncertainties, and you know, the show is meant to like give that kind of space, that kind of platform where artists can come and play their music, people can come and like we can speak about issues, exactly what we're doing here with this show, you know, with the whole blanket of Daring Media. That's exactly what happens, right? So you know, this person is like coming at me like, no, maybe you're racist. I'm like, yo, wait, you know, everyone has a target market, and the NDL show is for young people, people like me, people who want to break the boundaries that have been set. We're trying to really reshape the way the world works. We're trying to see more Black people rise to the fore. And this person was coming at me. I'm telling you, Tepo, that instance, I felt like just throwing all my toys. You know, and in those instances, it's those kind of things where it's like, you know what? Thank you for this conversation. But yeah, you know, let's agree to disagree. Because it's not going to fly, you know?
I understand where you're coming from in terms of understanding people's perspective and that it is their own perspective. And I think that is such an important distinction to make, because we kind of walk this tightrope of really wanting wanting not positive feedback per se, but feedback that is of value to what we do, and feedback that is understanding of our intention and what we're trying to do so that it can build on that. But then on the other side, there's just people talking for the sake of talking, and people also speaking from a perspective that is so far removed from your intention that whatever they say is not intended to build on what you are trying to do. And I think the wisdom is really in knowing the difference. And that is the lesson that we kind of go through throughout the journey of creation, trying to understand whose perspective should I really take into consideration in building my intention. And I think that's something that I am still trying to learn. The feedback knocks me so far back sometimes that I feel like, can I even do this?
I feel you. I feel you on that front, you know. I mean, there are times when I go like a long period without producing content, because it does get discouraging, you know. It's nice. But at the end of the day, you know, we still get affected by negative criticism, you know. I feel what you're saying.
What are some of the things that you have in place that affirms your position or keeps you confident and builds that confidence in you?
Wow, like to tell you the truth, I have, you know, I'm so blessed by surrounding myself with people who constantly affirm me, You know, I'm big on affirmation. And, you know, to have people confirm, like, you know what, you're working hard, you're doing great, you know, let's do more. So my group of friends are like that in general. You know, even the producer of the show, he's someone who doesn't let me be comfortable. He gives me, like, you know, that cutting truth, but it helps you grow, you know? So there are certain people in my life who do criticize what I do, but they do it in such a way that it's like, okay, you know what? Let's work on this. Let's improve on this. You know, let's not be comfortable. Let's, you know, reach for the stars. So really having people around me who constantly help me also realize my own potential really does give me that confidence that, no, man, you've got this, girl. You know, you can do this thing. It's nothing, you know? So yeah, that's mostly what helps ground me in my own affirmation, in my own confidence. So yeah. And how about you? How do you do this thing?
Oof, I'm learning. I think you stressing the importance of community is something that I really resonate with. I have kind of my tribe, you know, and it also speaks to whose perspective matters to me and the feedback that I get. I'm reading a book right now by Dr. Brené Brown. In her book, she speaks about feedback and how to deal with feedback and through that and creating a community. And she says that it's so important that you intentionally kind of write down 5 to 10 people, however many people you have in your life, that you know that these people really are there for your growth and they are intentionally trying to support you and make you a better person. Therefore, whatever feedback or criticism they have is never to break you down. It is always to build you, even though it might manifest as some sort of negative feedback, but its intention is always good. So for me as well, I'm trying to kind of cultivate that community for myself. So I have kind of a list of 7 people that I will send an episode to just to listen, just kind of to get a market research, I guess. And they will tell me what they love about it, what they don't love about it, how I can make it better. And that just affirms me, because even if it's a long list of what would be criticism, for me, it feels like it's out of love, because I know if I work on that, there is growth to me, you know? So that then affirms me.
Amen. Yeah, wow. I think I'm going to do the same. You know, I do have my friends, but I'm going to shortlist them. I'm going to do what Temple said, that lady said from the book. Could you kindly also send me the book? I'd also like to invest in that. It sounds very thoughtful and mindful.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's called, the book that I first read was called Daring Greatly, which is what the podcast is named after. Because from that book, I got so much courage to just, I felt like a new person, to be honest. You know, when someone just gives you a whole new perspective, it was crazy.
Yes.
She did it in one word by explaining what vulnerability was and changing my definition of it. Because I was quite afraid of vulnerability. I interpreted vulnerability as weakness, as something that you don't want to be doing. And I think as a boy growing up in a specific kind of context, there was this narrative of how I needed to be and the strength, the kind of strength that I needed to portray. And that was to the opposite of what vulnerability actually is. And Dr. Brené Brown was like, no, vulnerability is actually the biggest form of courage that you can have, because it means that you are able to express yourself authentically and you are able to show up for yourself every single day. And I was like, so you're telling me if I'm open with my emotions and I tell people how I feel, I can thrive? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start a podcast and tell people how I feel.
That is so awesome, you know, because it's so hard to be vulnerable, like in life, you know. It's hard to be vulnerable. So you're speaking to me right now, you know, I feel like this, you know, this is with reason, because it is hard to be vulnerable. It's like, you're okay. You know, even when you go on Twitter, it's like just easier to not put your business out there, not put your feelings out there, because obviously, you know, Twitter streets are rough. It's rough out there. Yo, thank you so much for this. Like, personally, I'm taking it. I am screenshotting it and I'm going to apply it to my life.
How do you deal with vulnerability on your own podcast? Kind of like treading this line of what is too much to share and what is completely closed off?
It's quite hard, but, you know, I mean, you know, where's the point? Where is the boundary when it comes to how much you should share and how much you shouldn't? But I guess for me, it just boils down to how comfortable am I with someone knowing how I think about this or how I think about that, you know? There's certain things that I purposefully decide not to put out there because it's like, you know, to each their own, you know? And sometimes with the podcast, people will hit me up like, hey, you know, I don't agree with your opinion because this is that. And I'm like, that's wonderful. You know, some people think that, you know, when you're on the podcast, then you say certain things that you're basically saying that this is what it is, but it isn't. It's just perspective. It's just my perspective. But yeah, you know, I guess I've just really made peace with the fact that we all have different notions, different worldviews. And because of that, it's brought so much peace because it's like, you know what? That's amazing. In fact, that's crazy how you, you know, your background, how you grew up, your socialization has made you think of this specific aspect in this way, you know, and I grew up this way. So this is how I think about it, but come here, let's talk about it. So yeah, I guess just in accepting that we are different, but that's exactly what makes life so interesting, the fact that it's so unpredictable, that people can be unpredictable, and that's why we should decipher things. So yeah, you know, when it comes to vulnerability, that's basically me. It's like, you know what, I'm vulnerable, but come, let's all be vulnerable, do this together, you know, we're in this together. Bring your perspective, I bring mine, let's decipher.
I hear you. And I think, yeah, that I can relate to that. That's where I'm at as well. Trying to create a space that is open to sharing different types of perspectives. As that's what we're kind of trying to do with the Debrief podcast, where we have three different people who see the world in completely different ways. But we're trying to cultivate a space where we can be like, you can have that opinion. That is okay. And I can have this opinion. What actually makes this space great is the fact that we have two different opinions. And from there, we can somehow hopefully find common ground to create something beautiful. And I think that's really where beauty comes from, in that space in between, where we're able to see, how can I take what's best from here? And how can I take what's best from there and create a shared space?
Yeah, definitely.
Earlier, you spoke about the criticism you got from a listener about your position, I guess, in representation. And I want to get a little bit into that, because you raised a very interesting point. Podcasting in South Africa in general is very different because we are largely speaking to a Black community, you know? And above and beyond that, our intention sometimes is to speak to that community because we are hoping to engage with them, empower that community, and because fundamentally we are a part of that community. Do you feel a sense of responsibility from the external world to always be representative?
I do. I really do, you know, because for people, for instance, who are living in townships, for people who don't have access to, you know, listen to the radio, for people who don't have access to, you know, listen to, I don't know, a podcast, how do they now, you know, speak on their experiences? How do we learn of their experiences? And then how do we move forward? You know, how do we encourage the kind of improvement in that society? So for me, it's like, you know what, we're young people, we have questions, and, you know, we want to see a greater narrative of the world. We don't want to constantly live with the fact that, you know, we're not privileged, with the fact that, you know, we're experiencing certain dilemmas in life. We're trying to really break that boundary. And in so doing, I do feel that responsibility that, man, come on, let's try, you know, let's try hear what people are saying about the certain thing. Let's try get answers about the certain thing on how we can approach it. So I do feel that need, man, because in the biggest way, I do not understand why we still, and when I say we, I refer to Black people. I don't understand why we're still fighting the same battles, why we're still the majority of people suffering, you know, for me, like that really just, yeah, it gets me emotional. And really it's an inspiration that makes me want to represent our people.
it really does also make me emotional. The Black community. You see,
like, I'm getting emotional now.
My body's getting goosebumps. With what you're saying, like, not understanding how we're kind of still here in the same place, fighting the same struggles. Mm-hmm. What opportunities come with more Black people occupying space?
It just allows for, you know, that sense of empowerment for the other communities, our townships that are also just trying to make more of themselves, make more with their resources. I mean, when Siya Kolisi won, well, not that he won, but as the captain, you know, when they won the Rugby World Cup, it was like, wow, that's us. As Black people, it was like, that is us winning the Rugby World Cup. Although we don't play rugby, we might not even understand rugby, but because it's like there's a Black person, you know, in the face of everything, it's like, okay, no, he don't represent, he representing, you know. So I think really having Black people in these places, you know, in these positions, it really just changes the whole organizational culture of everything to prove that, you know what, and also just to affirm this thing that, hey, we're Black. For a long time, we've been told that we can't do this, we won't win. So for me, it's like, yeah, no, we are really breaking those boundaries that have long been set by people who aren't even us, you know? So yeah, that's what I think about that.
I'm so excited to be seeing Black people do amazing things in all facets. Like, I think for me, it's twofold. There's one side where I'm thinking that it brings understanding to the rest of the world of the different perspectives that exist within Black communities. Because I feel like for such a long time, Blackness has just been this one thing that has also unfortunately been defined by people who are not us. And what I'm realizing now is that the more Black people take up platforms, the more the rest of the world is seeing so many different types of Black expression. So many different ways this gorgeous melanin can be expressed and live within, like, the universe, you know? And that excites me so much. And then on the other side, there's this value of us being able to see ourselves and to see the potential that we have. People who are trying to build and thrive and grow. I am seeing other Black kids doing amazing things. Like, I dream bigger because I'm able to see Abo Trevor Noah, Abo Zozi Bini, Abo Bonang Mateba, doing such great things on such high platforms. I'm like, oh, Black child, you can do it. So yeah, just, and I think that's where the sense of maybe responsibility comes for me as well. And it's not a burden for me. It just means that I get to thrive so that the kids who are coming after us and the people who are listening to us around the world can see a different expression of Blackness, and other Black kids can see the potential of themselves in this Black kid.
Amen. Yeah. That was so beautiful. I definitely resonate with everything that you have said. Hey, definitely, because the discourse of race has done so much to us as Black people, you know. So constantly seeing that, it's a personal feeling that's amazing, and also a collective kind of confirmation and affirmation.
Yeah. 100%. I want to get your thoughts on something that I've seen on Twitter, and I just want to hear what you think about it. So it's Women's Month right now. And speaking of narratives that are being kind of constructed by other people, I have seen this kind of common thought amongst a few women on the timeline engaging critically with this thing of women have to be imbokoto, they have to be the rock. And I saw a tweet that made me think I thought it was quite interesting because I'd never actually engaged with it like that. And someone was like, I don't want to be known as a strong woman. And a lot of people were engaging with that. And I think as a man, I just never engaged with that narrative as much, because I'm kind of like, empowerment, yeah, women must be strong and this is what we want. And then this person was like, no, don't tell me that I have to be strong. Just let me be, you know? And I was like, whoa, I get it. And even me trying to be like, imbokoto, I am also just trying to define you. What's your take on that whole thing?
I'm not imbokoto. Personally, I'm not. I'm really not. I have feelings. I go through the motions. You know, sometimes it's hard to be strong. you know, because there's this idea of women being strong, but strength comes from that weakness. That's when you rise. I don't know if you've heard the term, I don't even know how to put it, but, you know, the only way up is down, right? When you're down, you can only go up. I become stronger as I go through the motion. When I'm weak, I want to cry. I want to feel angry, and I want to be angry, and I want to deal with it. And after dealing with that, naturally, my natural response will pull through and I will go up from that, you know, but constantly having to live with this thing of, okay, I'm going through something and someone just says, no, be strong. We are women. Be strong. That is hard because now I have to repress my feelings. And now I'm 21 years old and I'm still trying to deal with traumas from my 15-year-old self because I didn't deal with it then. So now it's coming in to reflect in my present and future life. And that's a problem. It's a problem, you know? We're tired of being strong as women. It's like, no, I just want to be me. If you're doing something and I get angry, then I want to be angry. And I have the right to be angry, you know, because this thing of being strong also in this very subliminal way invalidates how we're feeling. It basically makes it seem like, you know what, you're crazy. Why are you angry? Like, come on, just relax. It's very invalidating and it's so wrong because now you're constantly trying to deal with traumas from the past because you haven't dealt with them then. So now it's like, ish, you see this problem of me being strong, it doesn't help me. Because here I am fighting demons from 2011, 2000. It's crazy. So yeah, man, I'm definitely for the thing of, you know what? I just want to be. I want to be angry. I want to be happy. I want to be peaceful. I want to be whatever I am at that moment. Just this thing of invalidating women by saying, you know what? Be strong. Uyimbogot. No, it doesn't work anymore. It's done now. It's so done. Yo, it's so done.
I hear you. I so hear you. I think that was such a perspective shift for me as well, just in how I engage with this whole conversation. Because I can understand what you're saying in that it's limiting. Because then we are saying that this is what the expression of woman should be. And there's so many mistakes in that sentence itself, you know, the should and even who is trying to say be strong. Thank you for sharing your perspective on that. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, yo, Ish, because growing up, that is a sentence, that is a thing that I have known. And, you know, I recently had a conversation with a friend of mine and she made me realize that, you know what, you just really need to be like, you're not okay. Come, let's cry, let's shout, let's do what we need to do. And it's such an amazing feeling. Have you ever cried? And then you sleep and then you wake up. You know that feeling. Do you know how not sleep is? It's like, you know, this kind of resurrection of self, this coming to self once you experience your emotions and you let yourself experience them. There's so much growth in there.
That's exactly what I learned about vulnerability. And it was also in the realization that, no, I can really explore the whole spectrum of emotions. And now I can just watch This Is Us and cry my eyes out. And that's the best experience ever.
You know, and I also wanted to ask you, now that we're on this conversation, how do you, apart from crying when, you know, watching This Is Us, how do you now express yourself fully? I mean, men also experience this, especially Black men. You know, it's like, hey, you are the provider. You are, you know, you can't be seen weak. You really can't be weak. You know, there's this ideology and whole discourse of being weak and strong when it comes to men. So how have you been dealing when it comes to that?
You know, Nundu, it's actually started in the last year and a half that I have consciously and intentionally engaged with my expression. And it took a really intense time in my life that I had to... Some people call it a come to God moment or a dark moment of the soul, where there's just this pent up expression inside of you that, if it's not channeled properly, manifests into the world in very toxic ways. And that's what happened to me. And throughout the time, I didn't quite know because it was so suppressed. I had been so socialized to express myself in such a limited way that when I got to the space, I had just developed so many toxic spaces around me, and my expression had become so toxic, very harmful to myself and my health at the time as well. And sure. It took just really getting to a moment where I was like, I don't even know who this is, what this is that I am expressing or living out of. Mm-hmm. And started therapy. That was the first time. Well, the second time, the first time I did, I wasn't consistent and I didn't go. And then when I really started therapy and engaging with what was actually going on with me, that was then when I was like, how am I choosing to bring my emotions into the world? And how am I choosing to have, what kind of conversations am I choosing to have with people? More importantly, is it what I want to be doing, you know? So mm-hmm. I think those questions were very important because it made me realize that for a long time it was people pleasing. For a long time I was just riding the wave and going with the flow, getting clout. Mm-hmm. And it was mm-hmm. external, trying to reach for this validation from the external world. And that was very unsustainable. Yeah. So in the past year, I've really done a lot of introspection. I started meditating. I started doing yoga, which I just love. I started engaging with a lot of content and literature that really speaks about the human condition, because I really realized that for us to understand it is for us to engage with it. So I've been just trying to apply those things to myself, and then now I get to express myself in so many different fun ways. Like I play the guitar again, which is like I've been learning. I'm like very beginner.
Wow.
But that has been a lot of fun.
That's
of
so nice.
Yeah, that's been a very fun expression. Just like going on runs. I've never understood people who just go like run on purpose. But I started doing that, and it's just something that I also have fallen in love with. So I've now developed healthier mechanisms of expression. And then I get to engage with people from a more authentic place, I think, because then I have a more grounded sense of self.
Yo, that is awesome, you know, and on the front of running, you know, I used to run, you know, I was that person that you would look at and be like, hey, but this person, why are they just running, you know? But now, like, yo, it's so hard. Could you please just send me some motivation to run? Because I also want to get back into it. Linda, I want to be terrible.
Actually, for me, I didn't start running straight away because I'm a very one bite at a time kind of person. It overwhelms me when I think about the end goal. I'm just kind of like, what do I have to do right now? Yeah. So I think for about a month, all I did was go on walks. And that's when I listened to podcasts. So kind of make it fun for myself. So I just download a podcast, and then I know this podcast is about 45 minutes to an hour. And then I go on a walk every afternoon while I listen to the podcast. Also noting my privilege to be going on a walk in South Africa as a man, because that could be a very different experience as a woman going on a walk in South Africa. Yeah. So I started very small, and then I started like just increasing my pace. And then at some point I was like, let me just try to do 1 kilometer. And I did 1 kilometer for about 2 weeks, for however long it takes. And now I'm actually just only on 3 kilometers and trying to take it higher and higher, but one step at a time.
Wow, that's so amazing. Yeah, no, thank you. I think I'll also start walking now. Thank you.
Yeah, and just listen to podcasts. I mean, we love podcasts.
Definitely. The thing is, I'm just, you know, in South Africa, I'm so scared of, you know, when I used to run, I try to make sure that I look as gangster as possible, because I'm not trying to be hit on by some man, you know, because when I was running, I used to like have men driving past and stopping their cars, and I'd have to sprint back because it's scary. It's a scary reality, yet it is. And you know, I have to constantly have to put up this, I'm a gangster. If you're gonna rob me, I'm gonna rob you too, once, you know. So that's how I have to. But definitely, I definitely will look into that.
I think just starting small, and also I think maybe finding other ways. If running and running in the streets can't work, running laps around your house if that's possible. But active body, yoga. Yeah. Yoga is great.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm so scared of yoga. I'm telling you, I'm scared of yoga. I tried it. I'm scared.
We can talk more offline about it, and I can tell you where to start, where to go. And YouTube is a very great resource for me. Shout out to Yoga with Adrienne. She's very chill.
Amen to that.
And yeah, hey. But that it's a lot of fun. Nondu, I want to, as we're coming to the end of the episode, I have what I'm calling, I'm starting this segment for the first time in this episode, but I'm so excited for it. Five daring questions to end off the episode with.
Oh, I'm scared, Tepo. I'm so scared. Oh my gosh.
Hang in there. So just tell me your truthful answers and what comes to your mind. And it doesn't have to be a long answer, but if your energy leads you to just elaborating, you may do so.
All right.
Number one, what inspires you?
Music inspires me. Underground music inspires me.
Who are you listening to right now?
I am listening to Tyson St. I am listening to Doshi. I am listening to Miles. I'm also listening to Rafenza Solo. You know, a lot of female artists, you know.
I love it. What I love on your show is the music that you share. And I'm always just checking people out. So thank you for your great music.
thank you so much for checking them out, because we need them to go out there. They need to be like at a greater place right now when it comes to their music.
Second question. What obstacle are you currently trying to overcome?
Your schoolwork. I'm trying to finish my degree, Tepo. I'm trying, but it's hard. So for me, that's one of the biggest obstacles, because it does affect the way I can do other things like the podcast. So yeah, that's for me the biggest obstacle.
I hear you. Number three.
Yeah.
What do you think we are all so afraid of?
I think to some extent relationships, like romantic relationships, especially in today's day and age. I mean, have you seen on Twitter how people have been acting when it comes to relationships? You need permission, you don't need permission, you know. It's just, I think it's a very scary world, you know. You get ghosted. So many things are happening right now when it comes to relationships. So I think that's an aspect that most of us are scared of.
Number four, what is the greatest quality you think humans possess?
You asked me a question, and this is very, I'm a very existential person. Like, I'm very cynical of people. But, let me think about it. Greatest quality.
I would say perhaps our potential to love.
Okay, yes. I think as Black people, especially, like, we do have a lot of Ubuntu, as much as, you know, it's a concept that is not really exercised, but I do think we have that ability, you know, to care.
And your last question, what would you like to see change in the world going forward, especially, I guess, after the pandemic, if such a time exists?
The youth being supported in terms of especially employment, you know, employment in the sense of whether it be corporate or whether it be creative. You know, I think that there's a huge lack in the support for the youth, because we don't know. We don't know how the future looks. We don't know if we're studying the right degrees, whether our degrees will be relevant in the next year even. You know, so I just think that support, I think, the youth, there's too much potential. There's so much hype in the youth, you know. And if we're also heard, especially in the government, if we heard in the world, then I think we could do a whole worldview shift in our own minds. So, yeah.
I love that answer. I fully agree with it. We need to get youthful perspectives into rooms that are making decisions, especially decisions relating to us and, more importantly, relating to our future.
Thank you, Tepo. Thank you. Yes.
Nondu, it's been such an honor, such a pleasure, such a joy speaking to you. I think I've just been grilling from like ear to ear the whole episode.
Thank you so much for having me, Tepo. Like, I really enjoyed this conversation. I'm so glad for this collaboration. It's really a blessing to me. Thank you for having me.
And I will be putting a link to your show in the description for this episode. Everyone listening, please go check out the NDL show for all your current events, news, and all these engaging interviews that you engage with people that I absolutely love.
Amen. Thank you so much, Taba. Just know that I'll be hitting you up as well so that we can just continue with this collaboration because you're just amazing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Where can the people find you on the socials?
I am at NDL underscore Ndumi on Insta and Twitter. Not really active on Facebook, so it's okay, you know. As long as you know we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, I follow back. So even if you hit me up and you like follow back, I will. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Be sure to check out those socials, and you can follow this podcast at Daring Greatly PC on Twitter, and you can also follow Daring Media ZA on Instagram for more engaging content. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.